Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is.
Jumping with my boy Mike in the Nation. That's right, you're going to be jumping with your boy Mike in the Nation. You're listening to the great Charlie Parker. Now, he's not popular these days, but he was a revolutionary musician who gave the world revolution in music, revolution in thought and feeling. And how we've gone from him to a lady, if you want to call her that name, Murky Waters, in one generation, who, in my opinion, is committing acts of sedition every day on the floor of the House of Representatives in her diatribes against the President of the United States. I believe she needs to be investigated for having committed sedition. I want you to listen to this. Now, remember this. This is not a college professor at Berkeley. This is not a mad person on the Internet. This is a lunatic committing sedition, in my estimation, Maxine Waters, on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives in clip number 3, listed on The Savage Nation.
My position against this president and his administration is clear. I oppose this president. I do not honor this president. I do not respect this president. He has disrespected the office and offended so many people across this country and around the world with his disgusting and indecent rhetoric against women, the black community, Muslims, immigrants, and disabled Americans.
You are a piece of such... You are, if I could really tell you what I think of you, Maxine, you are one of the most despicable people in the history of the United States Senator, Congress. How in the world could your people in your community not see through you what you are? You're a disruptive, discordant voice. You are committing sedition, Waters. Let me explain what sedition is, Waters. I don't know if you can even spell it. I know you don't know the difference between Korea and Crimea. But what you just said on C-SPAN in your floor speech is an act of sedition. You're listening to Murky Waters, where she says, "I do not respect this president." Basically, she is encouraging people to riot against him, riot against Republicans, commit mayhem against the president. She is openly committing a rebellious speech on the floor. Now, what if I'm going to have to put it like it is, a Caucasian U.S. representative had used those exact words against Barack Obama? My position against Obama and his administration is clear. I oppose this president. I do not honor Obama. I do not respect Obama. He has disrespected the office and offended so many people across this country and around the world. Why, that person would be dragged across the coals. That person would have been called up by every committee that those rats called Democrats could have thought up to create. Wolf Blitzer would have needed a quadruple bypass if a white congressman had ever said that about an African-American president. But here is Maxine Waters committing what I think is sedition. Listen to what she says again at another time, because here is what sedition is. Sedition is overt conduct such as speech and organization that tends toward insurrection. Ow! Oh, my dog just bit my foot, I swear to God. I'm sorry, this is a crazy day for me. The dog was in the vet. He just bit my foot on the desk. This is crazy. I know you shouldn't hear any of this, but my dog just bit my leg. It's okay, Teddy. Good thing I was wearing big shoes. He just committed sedition. Ryan, call the police. I'm having Teddy arrested. Sedition often includes subversion of a constitution and an incitement of discontent or resistance to a lawful authority. Well, that's what she just did. Incitement of discontent or resistance to lawful authority. Sedition may include any commotion, though not aimed at direct and open violence against the laws. That would be everybody in the city of Berkeley, California, who riots any time a conservative speaks. They should be arrested for sedition, and the key should be thrown away into San Francisco Bay. Seditious words in writing are seditious libel. A seditionist is one who engages in or promotes the interest of sedition. Typically, Miss Waters, sedition is considered a subversive act. And the overt acts that may be prosecutable under sedition laws vary from one legal code to another. My friends, she has committed a definition, the definition of sedition, and I believe she should be tried by the United States government for committing sedition on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. And I'm not asking your opinion on this. She is not just a loudmouthed college teacher who can get away with virtual murder. In colleges today, they are repressing and suppressing kids in ways you could never understand. You'll never believe what they're doing to kids. There's a student in a Christian school who criticized the Muslim professor for saying gays should be you-know-what. He was thrown out of the college. The Muslim professor said she felt uncomfortable. But Maxine Waters calls for open sedition against the president, encouraging mobs to riot, basically telling them they will not be prosecuted. So I say to you, I play Charlie Parker. Play some Charlie Parker. So you want to hear what revolution is that gives the world something compared to revolution that gives nothing but ashes and filth to the world. Listen to what Charlie Parker did with his music. Let me explain something. In civilization, those of us who have violent streaks or anger streaks or discontent streaks or revolutionary streaks, in a civilized society, what you do is you take it and turn it into something positive, such as music, such as art, such as poetry, such as talk radio, but you don't open your big, fat, seditious mouth on the floor of the U.S. House calling for open rebellion against the sitting president without consequences, do you? What has she done in her own community for the black people in her community? Has she ever been looked at from a careful point of view? I've never heard anything like this. If a white congressman had said the same words about Barack Obama, Wolf Blitzer would have needed a quadruple or God knows what kind of bypass. Andy Cooper would have needed to be taken into an emergency room. Jake Tapper would have had a woodpecker transplant to control his beak. But not one word would Maxine Waters openly commit sedition. Here's another little story for those of you who think that the Republicans are so bad. Tony Podesta, he's a Democratic lobbyist, and the brother of former Hillary Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta, made $500,000 lobbying for a firm convicted of illegal sales to Iran. Why is there no investigation of Tony Podesta? Number three, Trump tweeted that there should be an investigation of Hillary Clinton's transfer of all the uranium stocks or a good portion of our uranium mines to Russia for a big payoff to the Clinton Foundation. Tell me why that was not investigated by the sacrosanct Chuck Schumer over there in Deliland in New York. Now, that's the opening to the show. I actually wasn't even going to cover these topics, by the way. I am now because I'm so enraged by it. I would rather have gone down the road I wanted to go down. And I'll tell you, that road is really so different from what you may imagine. I spent the whole morning from 7 o'clock in the morning going through, I don't even want to get into it because once I start, then I'll go down that road. Maybe I'll do it later. I was reading a 92,000-word manuscript that I wrote in the 1970s that's been edited over and over and over again, and it just arrived to me this morning via a digital file, and I was looking at it, and I was saying, now, boy, I think my audience might like this. Me as a young plant collector, me as a young botanist, me as a young... What did I think? What was I like? Is it something that they'd want to see? Because politically, I was a lot different than I am now. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I evolved. It's the people who were stuck in the same mentality they had when they were 20 who bother me. They don't think. They just act as though they're still 20 years old. You get these millionaire actors, some of them billionaires, like Larry David, a billionaire from Steinfeld or whatever Steinfeld it was called. I never watched one show in my whole life. I always thought it was a stupid comedy. He made $1 billion, they say. And he acts like he's some poor street commie riding for a piece of bread in Russia in 1916, 17. How is that even possible? Because they never evolve. I, on the other hand, evolved. So if I were to tell you what I thought in the 1970s about the world, you'd say it can't be the same man. But indeed it is the same man. But I wanted to talk about that and read from that, but I'm not ready for that. And then I was going to talk about a meeting I had Sunday with a young jazz saxophone player with whom I may collaborate on a group of a combination of poetry and the extracts from my shows. I've read some of them with you on the air over the years. I thought I'd do that, but then I said, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. I have so many things going on at once. I better stick to the politics of the day because that's what the audience really tunes in for. They want to hear the fiery Michael Savage that exists right now. I can do that, and I will. But I think Murky Waters has committed sedition, and she should be investigated for having committed sedition. I think Podesta should be investigated by the Senate Intel Committee. And then I was going to ask you, what's your favorite passage from my number one bestseller, Trump's War? If you read it on the air, if you get through the call screener and I like it, I will give you a free copy of Teddy and Me, the dog that just bit my left foot. He actually only got to the sneaker and laces, and he's ashamed of himself now. Poor dog, confused he is, getting older. I guess he's got Alzheimer's or something like that. He should have known it was my foot. I know he's done this to the engineers who come in here and adjust wires. He bites their fingers and toes. Little did I know that they would come that he'd go after my own shoelaces. Teddy, what's with you, buddy? I had a scare with him this morning. He's been listless these last few days. Today he wouldn't eat. And I said, oh, no, this can't be another one. I can't take it. I'm not ready for this one. So luckily I had sent him up to the vet, just minor stuff, but he needed a little hydration and some. We gave him some pumpkin to move his guts, and he seemed much better. But he's a little, you know, they get older, they get like people, crankier, a little confused, they don't see as well. He confused my sneaker with that of a stranger underneath the desk. Isn't it funny the way of all flesh, how they mimic us in so many ways? And that's why we love our pets so much, don't we? Well, that's the opening to the show. Let's have a little Charlie Parker right at the right from that beginning, Robert, the good stuff from the beginning when the horn comes up the way we did it. I'll take your calls at 855-407-28 to remember. What's your favorite passage from Trump's War? If you get on the air, you get a free copy of Teddy and Me. Donald Trump just fulfilled a major campaign promise, and he eliminated the insane Obama-era rule against coal. And I'm going to tell you much more about this executive order, which will undo the insanity of Barack Obama's restrictions on burning coal in America. It's so complicated and yet so simple at the same time, but it's worthy of discussion. And I will do so a little later on. It's very important because he just signed it. He undid the previous administration's environmental regulations in the name of economic development, especially in Appalachia. You've got to hear what the psycho libs are saying about this. The worst one is the fool who used to run the EPA, some idiot named McCarthy, who had no background whatsoever in the environment. She was the former EPA administrator, Gina McCarthy, one of the dumbest people I've ever heard speak in my entire life, on par intellectually with Maxine Waters, to give you some idea of her intelligence quotient. Both IQ levels are in the double digits. They never broke a 3. They never crossed 100. So now she's saying, I guess where she is now, the former EPA administration, the genius. She's at Harvard. That's where she belongs. So now she's teaching at the Harvard, at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. And listen to what she says. She says, well, he wrote an executive order, but you can't do this with an executive order. She said, you can't undo it with a piece of paper like an executive order, she told the newspapers. It's a large hurdle to get from issuing an executive order to actually creating a new record on science. In fact, to base a differing rule. Do you see how crazy these people are? Obama used the executive order to get this stuff done. So now Trump is undoing the executive order with an executive order, and this liar says you can't use an executive order. What you need is a new record of science and fact. Well, Obama didn't have science and fact. He had pure demagoguery on his side. McCarthy was now at Harvard University's Kennedy School to show you how far that university has fallen. Said that, well, people don't really want to use coal much anymore anyway. They're all moving to clean power. That's a very interesting statement. Tell that to the coal miners down there in the Appalachia area. And by the way, all you libs, take a guess who bought up almost all the coal companies when the price had dropped precipitously to near zero because of what Obama did to the coal industry. That's right. The money changer, George Soros, swooped in and bought up the coal countries, Mr. Clean Energy himself. This guy is such a conniving, evil, symbol of everything wrong with the entire world. George Soros has funded some of the most revolutionary groups in the United States of America, from Black Lives Matter, you name it. All funded with this creep's money. And he made most of his money by trading currencies. Perfectly legal, of course. Never provided a job, so far as I can tell, in the history of mankind. The worst kind of capitalist in the world is George Soros represents. In my opinion, he's a Madoff who's not gone to jail. That's what George Soros really is, in my estimation. A useless, evil capitalist of the worst kind. I love capitalism when it produces jobs and services. I hate pirates in capitalism of the type shown on the Showtime show Billions. They should all be in jail as far as I'm concerned. They're called pure speculators. That's not what capitalism was designed to produce. Speculators like that are purely destructive for a society. They produce nothing and take everything. I don't put them up on a pedestal. Believe me, I don't.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Thelonious Monk, genius of modern music. I actually don't like the vocals at all. I only like when I hear them on the piano. But all right, that's another story. We're talking about the seditious speech of Maxine Waters. And I'm going to play a little bit more of her speech, because you're not going to believe how she clothes it in racism. Again, getting on the high horse of racism to attack Donald Trump, thinking that's going to protect her from this sedition. I wish to God I was in the Senate or the House. I would definitely bring her on the floor for a sedition hearing. I wouldn't care what color she is or isn't. I wouldn't care. She is encouraging riots and mayhem in this country. So in the following part of her madness, she now attacks him for going to Mar-a-Lago, as if that's an act unto itself that's evil, or for playing golf. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there was a president prior to him who played some little bit of golf. I never heard Maxine Waters go ballistic over that. Listen to 06.
This country is threatened with a president who does not belong there. A president who goes down to Mar-a-Lago every weekend and plays golf. He's not huddling with the members of Congress and trying
huddling?
To figure out how to form a consensus. But rather,
did you say cuddling?
He thought he could come in here and run roughshod over everybody. But that's how he works. That's how he acts. He's not good for America.
So she's jealous that she hasn't been invited to Mar-a-Lago? Did she say huddling or cuddling with Congress? Would you want to cuddle with Maxine Waters? I wouldn't. I'd rather go to Mar-a-Lago and play golf than cuddle with Maxine Waters. Now she goes into the racial stuff. This is the real icky stuff, but she did it, not me. Don't blame me. This is Maxine Murky Waters, next in 07.
African Americans know this. The Black Caucus understands this. And for those members of the Black Caucus representing our leadership,
I'll go, I can't listen to
him.
I'm sick of the Black Caucus and the White Caucus and the Green Caucus. Why don't you become an American caucus, Maxine? Your mission and your goal is to undermine President Trump by committing seditious speeches every day on the floor of the House. And I want you impeached, frankly, as a congresswoman. There have to be laws on the book. There must be laws on the book to stop seditious speech. We know how bad the media is. We understand Chris Matthews is a certifiable lunatic. We know that from the thrill up his leg when Obama became president. We know he's a very sick man. Everybody knows Chris Matthews is a very ill operative. But what I'm about to play for you shows you, beyond a reasonable doubt, that he belongs in a white jumpsuit in a mental hospital in clip number 2. You're not going to believe this. Listen to 02. This is, wait, a member of the media on Most Naughty Nonsense by Chicks on MSNBC. Listen to this.
This is a strange administration. Family means a lot with Trump. It's almost like the Romanovs. I mean, they bring all the family to all these major state events. They have not. Why is the family there? Why is Ivanka there? Why is Melania there at his state press conference? It's always bringing the family in and lording it over us, this sort of regal manner of this guy.
Sort of.
It's unusual. You think this bothers the country to have sort of a Romanov royal family running the place?
Sort of. Listen to me, you drunk bum, you. Listen to me, you drunk bum. I invite you on the show anytime you want. You are now foaming on yourself, Matthews. You're invited on the Savage Nation anytime to defend what you just said. Do you realize that by comparing him to the Romanovs, he's calling for the execution of the entire family? Listen to what I just said to you. By comparing Donald Trump and his lovely family to the Romanovs, if you study the history of the Romanovs, you will understand that when the communists took power, they killed the father and the mother and the five daughters. They shot them in cold blood. That's what Chris Matthews just alluded to, in my estimation. Not only does he owe an apology to the Trump family, the Secret Service should investigate Chris Matthews for suggesting the assassination of Donald Trump and his entire family. But if you think that's all that this psychopath did, I've got very bad news for you. He then compared the family to the sons of Saddam Hussein, who also died at the hands of bullets. Listen to how sick the media is getting in number 01.
You know, I kid about everything, but, you know, Uday and Kusay working for Saddam Hussein, you couldn't go to a restaurant and have eye contact with one of these guys without getting killed.
Well, here.
These people are really powerful. Imagine getting into a fight in the office with Jared or Ivanka.
Well, that's
they have enormous power, and they're always going to be there.
Chris Matthews has long been known to be a psycho. Everyone knows he's a laughingstock. Everyone knows he's a former Democratic press boy for Tip O'Neill. He was always working around drunks his whole life, and I believe he inherited the gene for drunkenness. And we know that he is salivating on himself as he speaks, if not committing another kind of act that we don't know about. But to call for, to make a comparison between the Trump family and the Romanovs, when all the Romanovs were killed by the communists after the commies, the Bolsheviks to be specific, took power, to me has just crossed the line. I want you to listen again, now that you know who the Romanovs were, to Chris Matthews of MSNBC. If anyone other than Phil Griffin, who I call Pil Griffin, ran NBC, this man would be fired. Does Pil Griffin still run NBC? Why is this man still on the air? Why is Pil Griffin, or whoever runs NBC, not throwing Chris Matthews off the air for suggesting or alluding to the ending of the Romanovs to the ending of the Trump family? Mr. Trump, Ivanka Trump, Jared Trump, I want you to listen to me. His name isn't Jared Trump. I know it's Jared Kushner. Jared, Ivanka, Donald, listen to me carefully. Chris Matthews makes a comparison of you and your family to the Romanovs. The Romanovs were all executed by the Bolsheviks after the revolution in Russia. Listen to clip two. Tell me what you think of this.
This is a strange administration. Family means a lot with Trump. It's almost like the Romanovs. I mean, they bring all the family to all these major state events. They have not. Why is the family there? Why is Ivanka there? Why is Melania there at a state press conference? It's always bringing the family in and lording it over us, this sort of regal manner of this guy. It's unusual. Do you think it's part of the country to have sort of a Romanov royal family running the place?
A sort of. I hate that collegey thing. That sort of thing is that snotty feminist stuff that they all use on MSNBC or at colleges, the sort of thing. Hey, Chris, what you sort of just did was allude to the execution of the Trump family. Not only do I resent it, I want something to happen. I want something to happen somewhere. Nothing happens to these people. Nothing. Well, now you know the war that we fight every day on this show. You understand what the battle is? It's easy to turn your head away from it. But when you are paid to pay close attention to what is being said by the vile revolutionary left, alluding to execution, alluding to overthrowing the president, it's impossible not to notice it. And it is, frankly, my obligation to mention it to you and to demand some repercussions for it. I want you to turn the clock back when we had the most divisive autocratic president in modern American history, Barry Obama, and his abusive first lady wife, who abused the taxpayer on a regular basis. She used Air Force One the way I used Southwest to go to Los Angeles. She abused us by having the mother-in-law living in the White House at our expense. She abused us by taking trips with her daughters, straight-out vacations, like a royal, a member of a royal family all over the world at great cost to the country. There was not one note of it in the illegitimate media. Amongst the fake news people, they never noticed any of the abusive, destructive behavior of Obama. Now if Trump sneezes, there's an apoplexy. Chris Matthews sounded as though he just had a fit. But what he just said crossed the line in my estimation. All right, let's move on. No one hears me. I mean, I can tell you right now, I see these things. I guess you hear it when I see it. Maxine Waters crossed the line into sedition. Conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. Synonyms, rabble-rousing, incitement to rebel, subversion, troublemaking, provocation. Oh, that would be Nancy Pelosi in some of her great speeches at Berkeley. We're all disruptors, said one of the richest women in the world, Nancy Pelosi. A disruptor? Lives in a palace on the top of Pacific Heights? She's a disruptor? And you stupid liberals buy this? You idiotic so-called progressives think that she's one of you? How dumb are the progressives? How stupid are they really that they let these old witches, these powerful oligarchs, make believe that they're one of the poor, one of the oppressed masses? How dumb are these so-called progressives? I really wonder if there's anything between the ears. All right, I got that out of my system. Now let's go back to what I really wanted to do today, which is what I'm doing today. Let's see what else I really wanted to do today. Investor burned by Madoff leaps to death off Sofitel Hotel. That was a horrible picture yesterday in the Post at the end of the day. A hedge fund executive who lost millions in Bernie Madoff's infamous Ponzi scheme jumped to his death from the luxury Sofitel New York Hotel Monday afternoon. Charles Murphy, 56, who's funded Fairfield Greenwich, invested more than $7 billion with Bernie Madoff, leaped from a room he had rented on the 24th floor at around 4:42 p.m., and landed on the fourth floor terrace, according to police sources. The firm poured billions into Madoff's coffers. Fairfield lost nearly $50 million when Madoff's scam imploded. The investors filed a class action lawsuit, and the company agreed to be part of an $80 million settlement. Okay, then they go into what he owned and this and that. And Murphy had been serving as a partner with the investment management firm. And listen to this carefully, Paulson and Company. Do you know who the head of the fund is, John Paulson? Does anyone remember who John Paulson is? I wrote about him in a few of my books. He never spent one second in jail. He's one of those who skated after the implosion of 2008, and he created yet another hedge fund. This one jumped off a building, unfortunately. Anyway, that's the world that we live in. Now, I want to again go back to capitalism, what it is, what it should be, what it has become in the last number of administrations. Capitalism as a system is ingenious and works very well for the common man when it is run as a pure capitalist system. When it becomes piratical capitalism, it's been called many things. When it's run by a group of pirates who rig the rules, it's no longer capitalism. It's called crony capitalism, or however you want to define it. It is not how the system was designed to operate. Now, in some of my previous books and in Trump's war, I have solutions to stop these pirates. The unfortunate truth is that the pirates are now inside the administration. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm sorry you have to hear it. So many of the very same people who rewrote the rules to benefit themselves and their banks are now running the country. I know, but you think I don't know this? You think I don't see the names? You think I don't know the company connections? You think I'm supposed to look the other way? Two books ago, I talked about certain things that needed to be done on Wall Street to stop this behavior, but nothing happened under Obama. He was exactly the same as the one before him. That was Bush, who was just the same as the one before him, who was Clinton. They all hired the same people out of the same investment banks to come in and run the economy, which means rig the economy and ruin the economy, create fake money, create a fake monetary system that doesn't even produce anything of value. The debt, where do you think the national debt comes from? It comes from these crooks stealing billions of dollars as fast as they can and creating a runaway inflation that is hidden by the very government that they're running. Now, if I sound like a communist to you, you're making a huge mistake. I am a capitalist through and through, but I don't believe in crony capitalism. I don't believe in corrupt capitalism. And I am telling you right now, unless something is done quickly, the country will never recover from what was done to it in 2008 when Obama when just before Obama was foisted upon us, the economy was exploded. Okay, I'll be back in a minute on the show to take your calls on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I'm going to tell you about something. I was actually a customer of this company before they started sponsoring the Savage Nation. I happen to love their shirts, Charles Tirrett. The best business and casual shirts you're going to find anywhere. I've told you about them. They bring all the fashion from their famous store on German Street in London, and they made it available online, and they're giving my savage listeners a huge savings. Charles Tirrett shirts are the most exquisitely tailored, crease-free shirts ever. British style, using only the softest, most comfortable fabrics. Tie, no tie, tucked, untucked. You're really going to look great in them. Listen to this. If you order now, you get three shirts for just $99. That's pretty cheap. That's 60% off. And all CT shirts come with free delivery. Six-month quality guarantee, free returns. Just $99 gets you three amazing shirts right now at www.ctshirts.com/savage. Did you write it down? www.ctshirts.com/savage. Buy yourself some shirts. Look nice. You'll go up in the world. You might actually get a date. You don't know. You never know what a nice shirt can do for you. So I got an email from, oh, we have a winner on the Trump's War reading. I got to do that first. KBET, John, what are you reading from? What page of Trump's War?
I'm on page 215.
Fire away.
It says that the very first freedom protected in the First Amendment is not free speech. I think a lot of us forget that. It's actually religious freedom, and I thank you for reminding all of us that, because I think we've forgotten it, especially over the last 8 years.
Oh, so you saw that. Okay, good.
Yes. I believe that the highest level of being human is our spiritual capacity. And I think that in America, what we do is we give the individual the freedoms and liberties to be themselves. But I believe that over the last 8 years, little by little, we were just chipped away at as individuals, especially on our highest capacity of what it means.
Right. And on the same page 215 of Trump's War for the First Amendment, I say this, which I'm sure you saw. Before Obama, most of the attacks on religious freedom were based on completely misreading the first 10 words of the First Amendment and completely ignoring the next six. The first 10 words, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, unquote, simply meant Congress couldn't create a national religion like the Church of England. It had nothing to do with the separation of church and state. Those are very, very important words that are in the book, and I'm glad you quoted. Obviously, you're a man who respects your own religion.
That's correct.
That's right. So you win a free copy of Teddy and Me. You see, folks, page 216. Let me just finish it up. It's important he brought it up. The entire progressive movement to ban any reference to religion in public places is based on a misunderstanding at best, a bald-faced lie at worst. The words, quote, or prohibit the free exercise thereof means people are not supposed to be prohibited from freely expressing their religion. You get it? It's all in there because they've erased God from any publicly owned property. Those vermin called progressives.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
So I know it's a show killer. I know that if I play heavy metal, you'll listen, I'll get a broader audience, you'll call. If I said to you, those Democrats are bad, and some of the Republicans are worse, but most of them are better, and I attacked liberals and Democrats for three straight hours and played strong, hard music, you'd listen. But, you know, look, here's the thing. I got to do what I got to do. What I got to do is play what I'm interested in today. So I'm playing jazz, and I'm doing a potpourri show. I'm not doing a Democrat-Republican show because I find it tedious and boring. And I think I'm going to do more of what I want to do now in this show today and every day for the rest of my life because it is my show. What is a show? Think about it. What's a radio show? What does show mean? It doesn't mean sit here and read a script, some political screed day and night. That's not a show. That's a political screed, something you do on the floor of the house like a Murky Waters would. I can do it, and I've done it. Sometimes I do when I get angry, such as I did earlier in the show with Chris Matthews calling for basically some harm to come to befall the Trump family. That's what he did by comparing them to the Romanovs. What Chris Matthews was doing was have you look up who the Romanovs were. And when you see that the Romanovs were executed by the Bolsheviks, including the five daughters, you realize what Chris Matthews did there. It's the mark of either insanity, stupidity, or both. In either case, I had mentioned it, but I don't want to do it again. I think in this hour I'm going to do other stuff. The coal thing, that was a good deal. Obama's executive order being eliminated by Trump's executive order. In other words, Trump trumped Obama. And now the fool who ran the EPA, who's now at Harvard, is saying he can't use an executive order to get rid of an executive order. Why? It's got to be based on science. Why Obama's political moves were based on science? I love 97% of scientists agree. Well, there was a time that 100% of scientists agreed that the Earth was flat. And then a few people came along who dared stand up to them, and of course they were persecuted. Just as those of us who know the real science know that carbon dioxide as a culprit is a complete invention. Now, ignoramuses who never went past the 7th, 8th, or 9th grade in science don't understand that. They're usually in the media, and they buy the line, hook, line, and sinker. Carbon dioxide, evil, they don't even know what it is even. And I think it's a result of carbon dioxide poisoning from their youth in Brooklyn, New York, or Queens, or the Bronx, where they drank a lot of seltzer, which is a carbonated water, water that was carbonated with carbon dioxide, and I think the carbon went to their brains, which explains their obsession with carbon as an carbon dioxide as an evil gas. They're so full of it. They grew up on it, the red diaper dopa babies, and they permeate the media and the government so sufficiently, you'd have to ask whether they are not mentally poisoned by the carbon dioxide that they're so obsessed with. I don't want to go into that because it's so obvious a fifth grader, let's say, with a reasonable IQ understands that. But I don't think Nancy Pelosi can even follow that. Now I want to go on to other stuff. I got this email from a female listener about bathrooms. And she writes, so they made the two bathrooms on this floor of this building to MF when they used to be one for male and one for female. Now they made them M/F. So today a guy went into the one we used to know as the woman's bathroom, and he didn't lock the stall door. Woman went in next and tries to enter the stall, opens it, and sees him peeing. I heard kind of screeching and apologizing from my office. At least it was a grown woman and not a little girl accidentally walking in on a man peeing. But still, they're so sick, Michael. And then a little while after that, I went in, and lo and behold, the first ever urine on the floor of the bathroom. That was a nice, clean woman's bathroom for the past 6 years that I've been in this building. There's progress from the progressives. So you see, the destructive years of Obama are coming home to roost. And this is just the beginning. So when Trump now undoes one of them with an executive order to do with coal, they go crazy. That's number one. Check off. What else do I want to do? Let's see. The dog is... I don't want to talk about the dog. So I'm going to do this for you. This is fun. I had a meeting on Sunday with a guy in his 28, 29 years old. I don't know how old he is. He plays the saxophone. He's a jazz pianist, jazz saxophone player. And over the years, he's taken my monologues and reduced the words from long monologues and just extracted words from them and turned them into poetry. I've read some of them for you on the air. I won't mention his name because it's not important right now. He may not even want me to read this, but I agreed to meet with him Sunday. So he drove up from L.A. because he was performing here in the Bay Area. Actually, I can mention him, Sam Gendel. What am I going to lose by mentioning? He's a terrific young man. So I met him 11 o'clock. So I said, you know, on your way home to L.A., would you write down what the meeting was about between Michael Savage and you? Because I think it's of interest to people to know who I really am rather than what you think I am. So I meet a guy I never met. We only communicated by email. So here's what he wrote. He said, on your way home, think about it, dictate it, and say what happened. So he writes this. 11:11 a.m., Savage and Sam meeting, 3:26:17. Both arrived 20 minutes early. Savage recognizes Sam as he walks up from the parking lot and vice versa. Quick handshake, no small talk, right into discussion of deeper matters, life, each other's histories, upbringing, Sam being from a small town in Central California, Savage asking him about that, about playing the saxophone, how he wanted to play the horn as well, how he has been feeling connected to the music of Thelonious Monk. It is good for his mind. The man was a genius. Sam agrees he was rare. The restaurant where they plan to meet is not open yet, so the pair walk to another nearby restaurant. But it is far too loud and the music is horrendous, so they exit and find their way to a quiet and empty coffee shop. The two sit down and Savage orders them each coffee. The employees are slow, and even though the order is for here, Savage has to ask to have the coffee served in a ceramic rather than plastic-coated paper. He caught that one. They sit down across from one another. Both remove their hats and immediately jump into a thousand topics, which are really one topic. And they both recognize that and jump around freely, knowing that they are connecting on the same level. Savage mentions that the poetry touches on his essence, and they agree that what Savage gives people is a mind trip, something rare in today's world, where everyone wants to compartmentalize and separate things even though it's all related. Sam comments that the reason they get along is because they both like Lin Yutang. Savage asks Sam how he knows about Lin Yutang, and they discuss how the importance of living had a profound impact on each of them as very young men. Sam explains how he turned a bit where Savage was merely reading the titles of chapters from The Importance of Living into a poem, and it is a deep moment in the conversation. Savage snaps a couple of photos of Sam as he asks Sam what he thinks the main themes of the poetry are. Sam laughs and tries to shy away, but Savage tells him to keep talking. They laugh. Themes that come up immediately: mortality, nature, acceptance. They discuss potential methods for sharing the poems with the world, especially his radio audience. He asks Sam if he has any ideas. Sam says he will think on it, and he really will. Sam says they can put out the work in a very special and unique way, a way that is art in itself. Sam assures Savage that young people will connect with his poetry, and people who don't understand his message will understand him more because the poems distill this true essence of him into a clear and digestible format. Finish coffee, scene change, the two walk outside, more talk about life and art. Find a table outside, sit down. Sam shows Savage newer poems, and the humor element rises to the surface. The poems are hilarious. Savage has Sam read them aloud as he films the performances. The two are cracking up as people are out shopping in the outdoor mall on a cool, cloudy afternoon. They recognize the potential of the work as they sit there reading. It is a potent recipe, the blending of deep profound with humor laughter. Sam's favorite combination. Savage agrees it's good. Sam tells Savage to film this. This is me, Sam, doing an impression of you, Savage, doing an impression of a young George Washington lying to his father about not cutting down a cherry tree. They're laughing heartily. Sam thinks how inspiring and incredible it is to be sharing this moment and experience with someone 45 years his senior. I'm not going to read any more because I don't think it's connecting with my audience. How do you like that? I don't think anyone's listening to this. They've tuned off the radio show, so I'll end with what I read. Savage is a man on Earth expressing himself quite beautifully, and Sam is another man on the Earth expressing himself. Sam also becomes an extension of Savage's expression, as he has been touched by something in Savage's words, so he is attempting to further that expression. The two make a plan to move forward with their collaboration of a 2-CD set and a live performance in L.A. Savage walks Sam to his car. On the way, they laugh about the poetry that can be found even in as simple an exchange as him asking Sam about his trip back to L.A. Savage explains how he thinks about the drive to L.A., and he writes a poem on the spot for Sam. Here to L.A., Altamont, 90, Stockyards, 90, Bottom of the Grapevine, 90, Home, 90, four 90s, with a stop for a burger along the way. Savage and Sam see the life and art and the art and life and how it is one and the same and is all connected. It is a unique pairing, these two, but could be the start of something special. Now listen to this part carefully. Before parting, Sam produces an old membership card for the Paul Revere Society. It's his father's. Savage says, "Where did you get this?" "It's my dad's. Would you sign it? It's for him." Savage signs the card. Beginning the drive, Altamont, Stockyards, Bottom of the Grapevine, Home. Sam never would have guessed that he would have gone from being a small kid, sitting in his dead grandfather's old Ford pickup truck with his dad as they drove in 100-degree heat with no air conditioning to install pool fences, and his dad turning on Michael Savage, whom he himself had just discovered, and Sam hearing it, not fully grasping it, but thinking to himself, "Who is this guy?" The standing there as a young man, and there's Savage, walking away after saying goodbye, Sam getting in this car to drive home to L.A., and Savage turning and saying, "We're going to work together." Now play some jazz, and I'll be back to take your calls on anything you want to talk about right here on the one and only Savage Nation. Well, I have an announcement to make, which is that I'm transitioning. It's a huge, huge announcement. I'm transitioning to who I've always been, which is a creative personality. It's not that I've hid anything from you. I am who I am politically. This is what I believe in politically. What you hear every day is what you get is what you hear is what you get. Trump's war expresses my politics, my political beliefs. But underneath that, there is a human being who for years was writing fiction, poetry, collecting plants, trying to find God in everything he did. So I'm transitioning to let you see the whole man. It's a huge risk I'm taking. Let me be very clear. I don't know whether this format is capable of the transition, but I'm going to do it from time to time. I'm going to open up that window. I'm going to let you peek in, and I don't know whether you want to see it. WTMA in South Carolina, Celeste, what do you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, thumbs up. We are ready to watch your transition. I feel like we've been seeing it, and when you said that we weren't hearing you, I just had to call because, oh, Michael, that listening to that young man describe your interchange was, I was just transfixed by it. I could see the two of you walking down the street, sitting in the cafe, the way you rap. I just love it.
And Celeste, how old are you? I'm just curious what your age bracket is.
I am 53.
See, but you sound like you're 29.
Oh, good.
And for that, I'm sending you a free copy of Trump's War for being a young at heart personality. But I'm not kidding you. Listen, many of you have to follow what I'm about to say. This guy listened to the show since he's a kid. Then one day, in the mail, he sends me the found poetry of Dr. Michael Savage. I didn't know what it was. What he did was he took words out of my monologues over the years, extracted them, and framed the language as art. And turned them into these things and gave them titles. They were from my own shows, but they weren't from my own shows. I'm going to give you one example. This one's called Posers. The Macchiato Drinkers, Scribbling Cafe Fiction, Maudlin, Depressing, Introspective, Whiny, Naval Watching. Everyone in the Bay Area has written that kind of stuff. That overly analytical fiction that nobody would ever read because it's so boring. Hemingway knew. Paris had its share in his day. In Aristotle's day, they were poseurs, pretending to be philosophers. In Moses' time, someone was sitting with a chisel and a piece of marble in a Tel Aviv cafe, leaning over for hours trying to figure out what to write. Moses knocked it out in 10 lines. Fast forward. Mary sits in the cafe writing about herself, looking at herself in a pocket mirror, wondering how long it will be before someone notices her. Suddenly, she has to go to the restroom. She shifts from third to first person, sets down her pen, goes to the restroom, comes back and prays someone has noticed her writing her great American novel in the cafe so that she can sneer at them and imply they're interrupting her thought process in the public space of a cafe. That's it. Now, imagine that with some music behind it. And one little shorty. Because I'm doing it now. I didn't mean to. I have a little time here. The dining room. It was such a small dining room that you risk castration if you didn't bend back as you were passing a chair. You were constantly having to contort. Then you'd hit your head against the women's sprayed hair. It was crazy and wonderful in that tiny dining room. You love that one. I love that one. So you can see it is what it is. Let's see what else. Mothers. Mothers is good, but it's too touching. Here's one. Palm Desert Blues. It's very short. This is for those of you who live down in Southern California. Listen to me on the internet. I have a huge audience in L.A. amongst creative people. Palm Desert Blues. Why would anyone ever want to live in Palm Desert? They think they're Frank Sinatra. Even the dates don't want to be there. They can't wait to be picked. Now, you got to understand what this genre is, because I don't. But he and I were talking about a collaboration of making a 2-CD set of some of this stuff. And then he said, you know what we can do? We can lease a nightclub in L.A. and do a live performance. I said, who's going to come to a thing like that? He said, well, I'll play guitar. I have some friends who are in the music business. He said, they'll pack the auditorium. I said, they're going to pack the auditorium. Young hipsters are going to come here, an old conservative, talk about. No, he said, no. He said, they're fascinated by you. And he said, if they hear you doing this, they're going to get the whole picture. Okay, whatever. Horrible endings. I did a literary autopsy of several authors. Jack London died of syphilis because he was a wild guy. In those days, they treated you with mercury, and I think he died of mercury poisoning, but he was a crazy man. In those days, the San Francisco waterfront specialized in something other than crab. I'll continue later on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-72.
Think about transitioning on the Savage Nation. It has such a different connotation than what you may think. It's not like I'm becoming something I haven't been. I'm exposing something I am. Am I allowed to do that, or must I stick to the format of just presenting my positions and bouncing the questions out at you and having you call back? That works. It's good. It's worked for me for 23 years. I've got 5 bestsellers in a row, so I can stick to that, and you know, forever. But there's something else that's bubbling up from the under the surface. And that something else is something called me. Do you want to see me? Do you not want to see me? You want me back in the box, or do you want just that? What do you want? You're the audience. So remember, I perform for you. You know, say it's my show, but it's your. Without you, there's no show. So what's worked for me for all these years, fundamentally, is a mixture of these elements anyway, to be frank with you. Those of you who listen to the show for years know that it's much more than just politics. I used to do a format called News, Views, and Reviews, where I do the news, which I've done already today. I give you my views, which I've done already today. And I haven't reviewed anything yet. I'm just reading from stuff that may come out one day. So I'd like to know what you think. Thomas on KSFO Line 4, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'd just like to say I read your book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I'd like to say great read, really eye-opening to a young, I guess you can call me a millennial in the postmodern university, which is basically turned into a doctrine. And yes. I think it'd be good for you to step out and do a performance in L.A. It would really show the true colors and not just show we're not all about politics. You know, we're about, you know, everything that surrounds us. You get what I'm getting at?
Well, that's my whole point, is that you can be a hardcore right-wing conservative, if you want to define me as that. And underneath that, there's something else called a human being. And when you have a Maxine Waters saying that we're not patriotic because we don't support communism, or we're not patriotic because we don't want the Trumps to live anymore, I'm sorry, but you see, there's a lot more to all of us deplorables than meets the eye, and I think that I need to lead the pack into that world. So, Thomas, I'm sending you a copy of, what, Trump's War? You want a copy of Trump's War? Because that's what you're getting, whether you want it or not.
I greatly appreciate that.
You're getting a first edition, first printing, very rare. It will be worth a lot one day. What else? Learns from you. Okay, KVOR in Colorado, Regina. Is it Regina? I don't know how to pronounce the name. So I've heard it both ways. Regina. Line one. Regina, line one, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I wanted to tell you, I get an education every day from you, more than I ever did in college. I love your stories. I don't even need to have you talk about politics. Because I just love.
So when I go down a road like this, and I'm not just, does it turn you off, or do you like listening to? I really need to know what the audience thinks.
I feel like I'm cheating on my husband listening to you. I love listening to you.
So in other words, intellectually, I'm the kind of man you wanted to marry.
Yeah, my husband's very bright, but he doesn't have the insight that you have.
No, I'm not here to put your husband down, but it's unfortunately true. A lot of guys are very wonderful people. However, they're not as flexible as women would like in some ways.
He's a pretty good guy, but
yeah, I'm not, again, it's not putting anyone down. I'm a different type of personality. That's all. I've always been a weirdo. In fact, I have a sign on my wall that I bought when I was last in Florida. You know those little corny signs that they print up, or little cushions. And the sign I put up in front of my house says, I was weird before it was cool. I love that one. I was weird before it was cool to be weird. I've always been weird. So thanks for the call. You're getting a free copy of Trump's War, which is not weird. It's true. Christy on WABC, line number 6. I got to see better. I can't see that well right now. Line 6. Line 6, Christy from WABC, what's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Very grateful to be able to listen to you. I learn a lot from you. You make me laugh. I love the right left brain thing you've got going on. Listening to you satisfies my creative side exceedingly. And I love it when you just
are you an artist? Are you an artist?
Well, you know, not by trade. I mean, I do. I'm in the IT. And yet, I'm an artistic person. I guess you could say I write. And I put it...
I understand. There's something in you as well that you're not allowed to express, for example, in your workplace, is what you're saying, right?
Without a doubt, and in other aspects of my life. And yet, it's such an important part of who I am. And even my faith, you know, my love of God. And that's another huge thing that, like, I sensed years ago. I remember talking about it with my dad, who listens to you as well, and my one sister does too. I don't know about my sister on the West Coast.
She probably left in order to get away from the family so she could practice her true faith.
Like, I just don't know if she gets your show out there.
I'm on KSFO in San Francisco. I don't know where she lives.
Oh, Colorado. So,
what age bracket are you in, Christy?
I'm 48.
Okay, that's the demo. That's the demo.
Yeah. And,
well, thank you for the kind words. You're getting a free copy of Trump's War. Postrology, Aries. Today's new moon in your sign gives you the kind of boost that comes all too rarely, and you must take full advantage of it. You have so much energy and enthusiasm and self-belief now. It makes all things possible, so aim high, then go higher still. All right, whatever. How could astrology mean anything when you think about it? They're like fortune cookies. How could that apply? Let's say there's roughly 6-7 billion people on the planet. So all of the people of this sign, that applies to all of them at the same time? Possible. And yet, here's the weird part. I'm addicted to looking at horoscopes. And some of them are so poignantly accurate, it's frightening. I don't know how that works. I look at my families, my friends. I try to see if it applies to them. I send it to them. They say, "Oh, you crazy? Why?" And then sometimes some of my intelligent family members say, "You know what? This is actually quite accurate today. It's fun. It's just a hobby we all go through." Let's see what happens today and tomorrow. Confirm that you are loved and admired. That's not mine. Oh, man. I'm just having fun. Am I allowed to have fun? You know, this young guy whose thing I read, the Sam guy, he was telling me he was a huge fan of Carlin. Was it George Carlin? So he said, if you did a live performance, you'd be bigger than George Carlin. So I said, okay, whatever. I don't have to be bigger than anybody. Let's see one more from the collective thing, which I may do live. Now, this is a little too political. I mean, maybe you like this one. It's called Sinful Nation. This nation has no memory. This is a nation with Alzheimer's disease. This nation has no past. This nation seems to have no future. This nation seems to have only a present. To watch the most anti-gun, anti-war, anti-police loudmouths in history rushing to sign your sons up to go die. To watch the full court press. The warmongers, the hate mongers, the liars, dragging America's sons into war. The unwisdom has been written. It will be spoken. I think that was during Bush's period. Yes or no? Another one, Robert? Robert, you enjoying this today? Robert says yes. He says thumbs up. So just a few more, a little change of pace. It's called a show. That means show. What does show mean? It means perform. What does perform mean? It means entertain the audience. Here it is, Bird of Prey. Driving on a country road, a hawk drops out of the sky like a rock and plucks a mouse from the earth. Us humans think we're this, we're that, onward and upward, the whole ego of man. God drops like a hawk and plucks us anytime he wants. Now imagine if I'm on the stage and at the end of that bang you hear a cymbal shot or a horn. Just one note. I would do it with like almost a Japanese one note follow up, like, that's it. That's how I would choreograph that one. One more? The Big Ten. It's too long. It's about religion. I don't think anyone's going to like it anyway. They'll think I'm attacking religion. It's about the 333 commandments, but most of us can't keep one of them. Let's see. Maybe they'll like this. Oh, here's one. It's called Cones. C-O-N-E-S. Beach town in South Florida. Everyone is on vacation, licking the cones. The licking crowd. Lick. Grown men licking a cone. That's my favorite picture. A grown man in a pair of shorts licking a cone. That's the American male at his best. A pair of Bermuda shorts. White legs licking a cone. Like a cow. But to each his own. If he likes licking the cone, let him lick the cone. I don't care. You got to understand this. It's not exactly what you'd expect to hear on conservative talk radio. But as I said to you, look, if you're really a sensitive person and you're accepting, I think you need to understand my transitioning is going on in public right now. I'm transitioning into who I've always been. I'm just exposing for you who I always have been and always am. Do you understand that? Is this okay? Is it not okay? What do you want? Just, those Democrats are evil. They're communist socialists. They're no good. I tell you they're no good. Get rid of those Democrats. Oh, good shot. Good shot. Okay, here's one I wrote when John Kerry was on the stage. It's called Diplomat. Try to picture him, right? This was dedicated to John Kerry. The perfect suit, the watch, the wedding ring, the manicure, the hand usage, the eyebrows, the use of the hands, the watch, the wedding ring, the skilled performance of the professional, how impressed he is with himself. My, does he love himself. The sound of his own voice. My, does he love watching himself hold court before the world. And those hands. One more. It's called Hypnopodia. Nah. Is this good? Yeah, here it is, a good one. This is very good. This is good for the progressives out there. The Bernie voters will like this one. It's called Hypnopodia. Hey, everyone out there, get out and shop. Go out and shop till you drop. Make that economy soar. Get in those stores and make the economy soar. It's a good world. It's a great world. It's the best world. It's the only world. Don't pay any attention to those naysayers or bad talkers. Don't listen to any bad news. It's all made up. Listen only to good things. Happy things. Good things. Happy things. Happy things. Good things. Happy things. God thing. Apply things. God things. Happy things. Good things. Go out there and shop. One more. I'm really into it now, but we don't have the music to go with it. Called Origins. Riding a bicycle today and it hit me. What if there's nothing? Even Mother Teresa had her doubts. What if at the end of it all, it's pure emptiness? But there must be a creator, I assured myself. Every man of thought has come to the same conclusion in the end. I kept riding. God, there's a certain nihilism to it. When I look at it myself, looking back on it, there's a nihilistic streak that runs through all of my work when you think about it. I remember when the fabulous writer, Kalef Asena of The New Yorker, did the profile of me. And I read that. Still my favorite piece ever written about me was The New Yorker interview, a profile, because all my early life, well, teenage life years, I always look up to the artists, the artists and the scientists. They were my heroes. Also men of action. Generals. In other words, all great men were who I admired. So if I would read The New Yorker and there was a profile of, let's say, Dave Brubeck, or a writer, whoever it may have been, they were in a league that I could never believe I could get into. They were they were on clouds. I never thought there's any way to ever get there. And then one day I wake up and The New Yorker has me profiled with the caricature of me looking like a gnome, which I like very much. I prize it very much. I have the original copy on my wall. And I read it, and I said, this guy really captured me, because he says virtually no 3 minutes goes by on this guy's radio show where he's not talking about mortality in some way or another. He caught it. Okay, I'm having a good time. I hope you are, too. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7...
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now, who doesn't love to sleep? Because we all know that a great night's sleep can help you have a great day. And I'm having a lot of great days because I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that gives you all the support you need and guarantees that you get the best night's sleep ever. Comes to you in a box so small, it really is amazing, you won't believe it, that it holds a mattress. It's easy to get into your bedroom. And I love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home risk-free. They'll come pick it up. If you don't love it, as much as I love mine, they'll refund you everything, no questions asked. Now, from its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it in your own home for 100 nights, it's no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. And believe me, sleeping on a mattress is the only way to try a mattress. It beats lying on one in a store for a few minutes, right? So get a Casper and get a great night's sleep every night like I do just by going to Casper.com and use code NATION. That's it. And you get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, code NATION. And you get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Write it down, Casper.com/Savage. Terms and conditions apply. Da, 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 da. Now let's go back to some of these great callers. Don on WABC in New York City. What's on your mind, Don?
Dr. Savage, you've been my professor for a number of years. I would just want to thank you for being here, and I would encourage you to do the poetry. These younger guys, most of them are very conservative. They really need to hear the truth, and your poetry is so creative. Your words are so creative, and you have a way with words. I believe it'll be a hit. And like you said a few times, the truth has a certain ring to it. I think they'll...
Yeah, that's true. Here's my feeling. Let's say I eventually do this, the two CD set, which is easy to do. I mean, it just takes some work. But let's say I go to the next step and do a live performance at a nightclub in L.A. or somewhere else, and it's closed to the public, because I would not open it up to the protesters. I would not even let anyone know about it. It'd be simply a closed show, and we would record it with maybe 100 people in there, his friends, his hipster friends, people I know in L.A., whoever, and we record it. We get high camera work in there, and then I release it to the public that way. What we're going to do here is show the world that you can be creative and you could be super patriotic. You could be creative and a Trump supporter. You could be patriotic and support the military and the police, as well as being super creative. In other words, there's no dividing line when it comes to patriotism and creativity. There's no separation that if you're creative, you have to be a left-wing fanatic. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I think the best way for me to make it is through the transitioning that I'm talking about, meaning emerging as who I really am, which I've exposed this to you before. All right, when I come back, Maxine Waters, who I call Murky Waters, commits sedition. Chris, whatever his name is, Chris Thrill Up His Leg, has crossed the line comparing the Trumps to the Romanovs, suggesting something horrible happened to them, in my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Mike.
With your great nation. And having said that on The Savage Nation, because I don't think anyone has said it as clearly as I, we want peace, we do not want war. Trump has finally done something I totally approve of in his actions by going on the offensive against those who are trying to undermine him. He called for an investigation into the Clintons' Russian ties. And I warned you, liberals, I warned you, Schumer, we'll have a look into your Peroshki, Schumer, and find out that there's something not kosher in it. And Hillary, I warned you once you started in with this attack on Trump with the Russia thing, all you liberals, pay careful attention, because there may be something unkosher under your babushka. And it's all going to come out now that you started to uncover this. You want to pick up a rock and see what's under it with the Republicans? Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So now Trump finally goes on the offensive, and he took to Twitter last night, and he asked why aren't congressional lawmakers probing the various deals, transactions, and connections former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have to Russia. Here's what Trump wrote. Why isn't the House Intelligence Committee looking into the Bill and Hillary deal that allowed big uranium to go to Russia? Russian speech, read Trump's first tweet, which was followed by this. Money to Bill, the Hillary-Russian reset, praise of Russia by Hillary, or Podesta Russian company. Trump-Russia story is a hoax. Hashtag MAGA. This is big stuff. And I think there should be an investigation by the House Intelligence Committee into the Bill and Hillary deal that allowed big uranium to go to Russia and the amount of money he was given, by the way, in a speech. Huge story. Great tactic. What you may not know is the story behind this. It's how Clinton's tenure as Secretary of Hate coincided with the influx of tens of millions of dollars from foreign sources into the Clinton Foundation, which resulted in favorable actions for Russia's government. Charlie, if we look into your knish, there's liable to be something unkosher in your knish, Charlie. Be very careful. Keep pushing this Russia thing. And Maxine Waters, if you keep pushing it, you never know what we might find in your food. We go on in this article from Breitbart. Indeed, the Clinton Foundation had received millions in donations from several investors in Uranium One. Pay careful attention. This is an indisputable fact. Millions in donations from investors in Uranium One, a Canadian-based company, in which a majority stake was sold to Russia's nuclear energy agency, Rosatom, in a lucrative deal needing approval from Hillary Clinton's State Department and eight other federal agencies. New York Times confirmed, quote, this sale gave the Russians control of one-fifth of all uranium production capacity in the United States. I'm sorry, the dog just bit my shoe again. He's a little sick. I think he's got rabies or something. He's going crazy to my desk. Come on, Teddy. This is not funny anymore. It's the third time. It's the third time today that my dog has bit my sneaker. He bit my assistant's sneaker three times, and now my shoe. He's like a mad dog under there. I don't know. I sent him to the vet today. He wasn't feeling good. Three times today. He's like a crazy growl under the table. I'm supposed to be pleasant, Teddy and me. He's like a mad dog under the table. My foot moves too close to him. Anyway, so you get the picture. I'm afraid to stick my feet under the desk. I'm a little offset here. So this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And Hillary Clinton admitted at the time, we made mistakes, as many organizations of our size do, but we're acting quickly to remedy them. No, she didn't give back the money. More troubling still was the $500,000 speech Bill Clinton delivered in Moscow that was paid for by a Russian investment bank that had ties to the Kremlin at the time of the Uranium One deal, the New Yorker confirmed. The liberal publication, the New Yorker, says, why was Bill Clinton taking any money from a bank linked to the Kremlin while his wife was Secretary of State? So Trump's calls for a federal investigation into the Clintons' Russia ties comes in the middle of a partisan push to link President Trump and his aides to Russian influence peddling and collusion during the presidential campaign. Be careful what you wish for, Democrats, because you just might not get it. This is written by Jerome Hudson, except for my editions, and you can find it up on the Breitbart website. It's all true. Trump calls for investigation into the Clintons' Russia ties. WABC, Nate, line one. Hey, Nate.
I wanted to read you one of my favorite selections from your new book.
Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. It's not going to be easy. There are armies of special interests on the right and left that have trillions to lose if we succeed in restoring this nation. They're going to fight hard to hold on to their ill-gotten gains, just as the British tried to hold on to their colonies. Only we won't be fighting on battlefields with rifles. We'll be fighting an entrenched establishment whose weapons of mass destruction are far more devious than those of King George III. Instead of cannons and muskets, the establishment uses a corrupt media and an insidious network of violent agitators to wage a psychological war, instead of a military one. Instead of shelling your town, they seek to imprison your mind with political correctness, envy politics, and intimidation.
That's good. Those are good words, Nate. That's beautiful. Who wrote that book? It's great. I got to get a copy.
Nate,
you sound like you're a professional actor or something. You've got a great voice. What do you do?
I'm a singer.
I knew it. I knew you were a performer. So if you're a performer and a singer, you're in New York City or in the New York area somewhere?
Yes.
So everyone that you know is probably a very liberal person politically, right?
You're pretty close on that.
I don't know how you even work in that city, given that the entire industry is controlled by psycho-libs from you-know-where.
Well, you know, I try to listen to that old title, Shut Up and Sing, that Laura Ingraham once said.
So in other words, you just do your singing and you call it, and you leave it at that. You never inject your politics into your profession.
Well, it has happened a couple times, usually not to good effect. And I wouldn't even want to go into the stories, you know.
No. I could just imagine what it's like to try and make a living as a singer to begin with, let alone in the New York area where the booking agents must all be from Brooklyn.
There have been.
I mean, they're all. I mean, every booking agent in your business must be a red diaper doper baby. The grandfather probably was a commie. The father was a trade unionist. And they absolutely refuse to see the reality of the world they're living in. Anyway, Nate, that's a pleasure. It's a pleasure for me to hear my own words read by a man with such a commanding voice as yours. And since you have Trump's war, I'm going to send you Teddy and me, the dog that's been biting my feet all day, underneath the broadcast desk. Thanks for calling the program. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know. It can't be rabies. Just skittish or something. Nuts. They become like people, I guess, when they get older, like a crazy. You got to put a muzzle on people, too, sometimes. Do they put muzzles on people in old age homes? God, I hope not. I'm not the type that's going to wind up in one, I'll tell you right now. That's not my ending. I'm not going there. That's not where I'm ending up. No, no, no. That's not where I'm going. So what else should I do for your entertainment on the Savage Nation today? Well, let's start by just playing that piece of Charlie Parker just as a transition for your favorite talk show host who is transitioning from pure politics into what he's always been, which is everything. Let's go to a caller on line number. Let's spin the wheel and go somewhere else. Let's get out of the East Coast. Let's go to Reno, Nevada, KKOH, line 8. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I want to talk to you about the concert. I really want to go to that. But first, I want to touch on the conservative talk show hosts that are snubbing you. And it really pissed me off. And I love to listen to Gush Windblow as much as I do you. You both speak truth. But I've called him at least 100 times in the past couple days to find out what the hell is going on. All these years I've been wondering what it is you've done to be kicked out of Britain. What the hell it is that nobody like the Leprechaun or anybody will bring up your name. And it's just pissing me off.
Well, it's an interesting question. I'm the only member of the American media who is banned from entering Britain, and none of the so-called liberty-loving conservatives will mention my name nor come to my aid when it happened. In fact, one of them went on the air and said, I'm glad it happened to him. He deserved to be banned. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you would think that if one of us gets a best-selling book on the New York Times list, and this is number one, this is a really a rare occurrence. I mean, some conservatives will have a number three, a number four, a number five. But a number one with no help in the media is a huge story. Not one mentioned by any of them. So look, it's not bitterness. I did it without them. It's more a reflection of their own bitterness and their jealousy than it is of my need for them to talk about me. But you, the listeners, are starting to understand that there's something wrong with this picture, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly. I keep wondering what the hell dark thing you have to be exposed, and I don't think there's anything. I just can't figure out.
Oh, you mean they're not mentioning my name for fear that if I'm exposed in some way, they don't want to be tar brushed with it? No, I got nothing to hide. What you see is what you get.
That's what I believe. I don't think I have anything to hide.
I got nothing to hide. Let me tell you something else. When I was assaulted 2 weeks ago, did anyone in the media mention anything about it? Did anyone say, we hope he gets well soon? Did any one of them go in the air and say, someone we know who is a competitor, did anyone go in the air and say, I hope he gets well soon? Robert, you said yes? Who? Who went in the air and said they hope he gets well soon? Who? Good. Good for him. But by and large, if someone in talk radio, a conservative, got beaten up or got into an altercation that wasn't his fault, you telling me it wouldn't be big news in the conservative media? It would be. So I'm not complaining about it, okay? God put me on the earth. I got to walk my own path. And we get through it one way or the other. It's not that big a deal. A guy gets shot in Afghanistan or gets his legs blown off by an IED. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Okay, so I put things in context. Okay, hey, thanks for calling. I'm sending you a copy of the great book that's on number one on the list, Trump's War. Thank you for calling. Great call out of KKOH. Really good. So I'm flying high now on energy drink. I love it. I have it very rarely. I needed one today. You see, last night, I have to make an admission. I went to the supermarket, and I couldn't resist buying a bottle of, it said, organic Sauvignon Blanc from France. And the bottle was so attractive, I had to buy it. I know I've been having trouble with wine lately. I was getting a headache, no matter what I drink, red wine, white wine. Well, unless it's super off the charts, $500 bottle of Italian or French. I really don't get sick from that. But this is a $20 bottle. I just wanted white wine. So I took it with me last night, you see, to an Indian restaurant off the highway, which has great food. and lovely family. And I ate the meal and I drank the wine. It was so good. It tasted like wine used to taste when I first drank wine in the 60s, 70s. I thought it was going to be great. I figured organic grapes, there's not going to have the chemicals of, grapes that are sprayed and might not have as many sulfites in the, in the skin. And this, it was terrific. It felt good going down. You didn't want to be inside my head at 3 in the morning. You did not want to be me at 7 in the morning when I awake, when I woke. Oh, no. What you did was you wanted to be me after I had an energy drink so I can function. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400.
This is for all of you hysterics out there who believe that carbon dioxide is a mark of a dangerous gas, which is one of the most ludicrous conclusions you can ever come to. Remember the scare about the ozone hole was going to destroy all of us with cosmic rays coming in to zap us? Well, a new scientific report shows that the ozone hole has shrunk by more than 4 million square kilometers. For those of you who don't know how big that is, that's larger than the space between Maxine Waters' ears. The ozone hole has shrunk by more than 4 million square kilometers. In other words, it's healing. The ozone hole, whatever caused it, in the period from 2000 to 2015, the hole in the ozone layer shrank by more than 4 million square kilometers. That's about a billion acres, according to a new report in the journal Science. Now, I know that the journal Science used to be a respectable journal. I'm sure that today it will go on the hit list of the warmists. Remember we were told about a massive hole in the ozone layer and we were going to have atmospheric radiation? We'd all get blind and we'd have a skin cancer pandemic. Remember it was called AIDS from the sky? Remember all of those days? Well, now scientists at the once liberal MIT, along with others, have found that since the year 2000, the ozone hole has actually shrunk by about half an area, half the size of the contiguous United States. Isn't that wonderful? You won't be hearing much about that from Charlie Schumer. He is still obsessed with carbon dioxide. Meanwhile, an old man is beaten up in Chicago for being a Trump supporter. Meanwhile, a Trump supporter is pepper sprayed and beaten while attending a Berkeley rally. Meanwhile, the day is going to come that they get what they're giving, and they're going to get it, boy, in ways they can never expect. Meanwhile, the psychopath Maxine Waters, who in my opinion has committed sedition, has gone so far over the edge that she's called Trump supporters unpatriotic. Meanwhile, Chris Matthews has so lost what was left of his mind that he has compared the Trump family to the Romanovs, thereby suggesting something terrible be done to them, in my estimation. Meanwhile, I predicted that the coming civil war would be coming soon to a neighborhood near you. And when you watch the behavior of these leftist thugs, we already have the civil war. And when you unleash the illegal aliens into the streets of America to conduct the civil war, something terrible is going to happen in this country. Something really terrible is going to happen, and it's going to happen real fast. It's not going to be a one-way street where the thugs on the left get to beat up old people. It's going to come back the other way, and then you're not going to be very happy. Just as those of you who thought that the Russia lie would destroy Trump, but it's going to boomerang and destroy Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, who do you think is more patriotic, Maxine Waters or me?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Or anger streaks, or discontent streaks, or revolutionary streaks. In a civilized society, what you do is you take it and turn it into something positive, such as music, such as art, such as poetry, such as talk radio, but you don't open your big, fat, seditious mouth on the floor of the U.S. House calling for open rebellion against the sitting president without consequences, do you? What has she done in her own community for the black people in her community? Has she ever been looked at from a careful point of view? I've never heard anything like this. If a white congressman had said the same words about Barack Obama, Wolf Blitzer would have needed a quadruple or God knows what kind of bypass. Andy Cooper would have needed to be taken into an emergency room. Jake Tapper would have had a woodpecker transplant to control his beak. But not one word would Maxine Waters openly commit sedition. Sedition often includes subversion of a constitution, and an incitement of discontent, or resistance to a lawful authority. Well, that's what she just did. Incitement of discontent or resistance to lawful authority. Sedition may include any commotion, though not aimed at direct and open violence against the laws. That would be everybody in the city of Berkeley, California, who riots any time a conservative speaks. They should be arrested for sedition, and the key should be thrown away into San Francisco Bay. Seditious words in writing are seditious libel. A seditionist is one who engages in or promotes the interest of sedition. Typically, Miss Waters, sedition is considered a subversive act, and the overt acts that may be prosecutable under sedition laws vary from one legal code to another. My friends, she has committed a definition, the definition of sedition, and I believe she should be tried by the United States government for committing sedition on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. And I'm not asking your opinion on this. She is not just a loudmouth college teacher who can get away with virtual murder. In colleges today, they are repressing and suppressing kids in ways you could never understand. You'll never believe what they're doing to kids. There's a student in a Christian school who criticized the Muslim professor for saying gays should be you-know-what. He was thrown out of the college. The Muslim professor said she felt uncomfortable. But Maxine Waters calls for open sedition against the president, encouraging mobs to riot, basically telling them they will not be prosecuted. I want you to listen to this. Now, remember this. This is not a college professor at Berkeley. This is not a mad person on the internet. This is a lunatic committing sedition, in my estimation, Maxine Waters, on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives in clip number 3. Listen on the Savage Nation.
My position against this president and his administration is clear. I oppose this president. I do not honor this president. I do not respect this president. He has disrespected the office and offended so many people across this country and around the world with his disgusting and indecent rhetoric against women, the black community, Muslims, immigrants, and disabled Americans.
You are a piece of such... If I could really tell you what I think of you, Maxine, you are one of the most despicable people in the history of the United States Senator, Congress. How in the world could your people in your community not see through you what you are? You're a disruptive, discordant voice. You are committing sedition, Waters. Let me explain what sedition is, Waters. I don't know if you can even spell it. I know you don't know the difference between Korea and Crimea. But what you just said on C-SPAN in your floor speech is an act of sedition. You're listening to Murky Waters, where she says, I do not respect this president. Basically, she is encouraging people to riot against him, riot against Republicans, commit mayhem against the president. She is openly committing a rebellious speech on the floor. Now, what if I'm going to have to put it like it is, a Caucasian U.S. representative had used those exact words against Barack Obama? My position against Obama and his administration is clear. I oppose this president. I do not honor Obama. I do not respect Obama. He has disrespected the office and offended so many people across this country and around the world. Why, that person would be dragged across the coals. That person would have been called up by every committee that those rats called Democrats could have thought up to create. Wolf Blitzer would have needed a quadruple bypass if a white congressman had ever said that about an African-American president. Now she goes into the racial stuff. This is the real icky stuff, but she did it, not me. Don't blame me. This is Maxine, Murky Waters, next in 07.
African Americans know this. The Black Caucus understands this. And for those members of the Black Caucus representing our leadership who went to
I can't listen to her. I'm sick of the Black Caucus and the White Caucus and the Green Caucus. Why don't you become an American caucus, Maxine? Your mission and your goal is to undermine President Trump by committing seditious speeches every day on the floor of the House. And I want you impeached, frankly, as a congresswoman. There have to be laws on the book. There must be laws on the book to stop seditious speech. We know how bad the media is. We understand Chris Matthews is a certifiable lunatic. We know that from the thrill up his leg when Obama became president. We know he's a very sick man. Everybody knows Chris Matthews is a very ill operative. But what I'm about to play for you shows you, beyond a reasonable doubt, that he belongs in a white jumpsuit in a mental hospital in clip number two. You're not going to believe this. Listen to O2. This is, wait, a member of the media on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks on MSNBC. Listen to this.
This is a strange administration. Family means a lot with Trump. It's almost like the Romanovs. I mean, they bring all the family to all these major state events. They have not. Why is the family there? Why is Ivanka there? Why is Melania there at a state press conference? It's always bringing the family in and lording it over us, this sort of regal manner of this guy.
Sort of.
It's unusual. You think it's part of the country to have sort of a Romanov royal family running the place?
Sort of. Listen to me, you drunk bum, you. Listen to me, you drunk bum. I invite you on the show anytime you want. You are now foaming on yourself, Matthews. You're invited on the Savage Nation anytime to defend what you just said. Do you realize that by comparing him to the Romanovs, he's calling for the execution of the entire family? Listen to what I just said to you. By comparing Donald Trump and his lovely family to the Romanovs, if you study the history of the Romanovs, you will understand that when the communists took power, they killed the father and the mother and the five daughters. They shot them in cold blood. That's what Chris Matthews just alluded to, in my estimation. Not only does he owe an apology to the Trump family, the Secret Service should investigate Chris Matthews for suggesting the assassination of Donald Trump and his entire family. But if you think that's all that this psychopath did, I've got very bad news for you. He then compared the family to the sons of Saddam Hussein, who also died at the hands of bullets. Listen to how sick the media is getting in number 01.
You know, I kid about everything, but, you know, Uday and Kuse working for Saddam Hussein, you couldn't go to a restaurant and have eye contact with one of those guys without getting killed.
Well,
these people are really powerful. Imagine getting to a fight in the office with Jared or Ivanka.
Well, that's
they have enormous power, and they're always going
to
be there.
Chris Matthews has long been known to be a psycho. Everyone knows he's a laughingstock. Everyone knows he's a former Democratic press boy for Tip O'Neill. He was always working around drunks his whole life, and I believe he inherited the gene for drunkenness. And we know that he is salivating on himself as he speaks, if not committing another kind of act that we don't know about. But to call for, to make a comparison between the Trump family and the Romanovs, when all the Romanovs were killed by the communists after the commies, the Bolsheviks to be specific, took power, to me has just crossed the line. I want you to listen again, now that you know who the Romanovs were, to Chris Matthews of MSNBC. If anyone other than Phil Griffin, who I call Pil Griffin, ran NBC, this man would be fired. Does Pil Griffin still run NBC? Why is this man still on the air? Why is Pil Griffin, or whoever runs NBC, not throwing Chris Matthews off the air for suggesting or alluding to the ending of the Romanovs to the ending of the Trump family? Mr. Trump, Ivanka Trump, Jared Trump, I want you to listen to me. His name isn't Jared Trump. I know it's Jared Kushner. Jared, Ivanka, Donald, listen to me carefully. Chris Matthews makes a comparison of you and your family to the Romanovs. The Romanovs were all executed by the Bolsheviks after the revolution in Russia. Listen to clip two. Tell me what you think of this.
This is a strange administration. Family means a lot with Trump. It's almost like the Romanovs. I mean, they bring all the family to all these major state events. They have not. Why is the family there? Why is Ivanka there? Why is Melania there at a state press conference? It's always bringing the family in and lording it over us, this sort of regal manner of this guy. It's unusual. You think it's part of the country to have sort of a Romanov royal family running the place?
Sort of. I hate that collegey thing. That sort of thing is that snotty feminist stuff that they all use on MSNBC or at colleges, the sort of thing. Hey, Chris, what you sort of just did was allude to the execution of the Trump family. Not only do I resent it, I want something to happen. I want something to happen somewhere. Nothing happens to these people. Nothing. Well, now you know the war that we fight every day on this show. You understand what the battle is? It's easy to turn your head away from it, but when you are paid to pay close attention to what is being said by the vile revolutionary left, alluding to execution, alluding to overthrowing the president, it's impossible not to notice it. And it is, frankly, my obligation to mention it to you and to demand some repercussions for it. I want you to turn the clock back when we had the most divisive, autocratic president in modern American history, Barry Obama, and his abusive first lady wife, who abused the taxpayer on a regular basis. She used Air Force One the way I used Southwest to go to Los Angeles. She abused us by having the mother-in-law living in the White House at our expense. She abused us by taking trips with her daughters, straight out vacations, like a royal, a member of a royal family all over the world at great cost to the country. There was not one note of it in the illegitimate media. Amongst the fake news people, they never noticed any of the abusive, destructive behavior of Obama. Now if Trump sneezes, there's an apoplexy. Chris Matthews sounded as though he just had a fit. But what he just said crossed the line in my estimation. All right, let's move on. No one hears me. I mean, I can tell you right now, I see these things. I guess you hear it when I see it. Maxine Waters crossed the line into sedition. Conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. Synonyms, rabble-rousing, incitement to rebel, subversion, troublemaking, provocation. Oh, that would be Nancy Pelosi in some of her great speeches at Berkeley. We're all disruptors, said one of the richest women in the world, Nancy Pelosi. A disruptor? Lives in a palace on the top of Pacific Heights? She's a disruptor? And you stupid liberals buy this? You idiotic so-called progressives think that she's one of you? How dumb are the progressives? How stupid are they really that they let these old witches, these powerful oligarchs, make believe that they're one of the poor, one of the oppressed masses? How dumb are these so-called progressives? I really wonder if there's anything between the ears. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Donald Trump fulfilled a major campaign promise, and he eliminated the insane Obama-era rule against coal. This executive order will undo the insanity of Barack Obama's restrictions on burning coal in America. It's so complicated and yet so simple at the same time, but it's worthy of discussion. He undid the previous administration's environmental regulations in the name of economic development, especially in Appalachia. You've got to hear what the psycho-libs are saying about this. The worst one is the fool who used to run the EPA, some idiot named McCarthy, who had no background whatsoever in the environment. She was the former EPA administrator, Gina McCarthy, one of the dumbest people I've ever heard speak in my entire life. On par intellectually with Maxine Waters, to give you some idea of her intelligence quotient. Both IQ levels are in the double digits. They never broke a 3. They never crossed 100. So now she's saying, I guess where she is now, the former EPA administration, the genius. She's at Harvard. That's where she belongs. So now she's teaching at the Harvard, at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. And listen to what she says. She says, well, he wrote an executive order, but you can't do this with an executive order. She said, you can't undo it with a piece of paper like an executive order, she told the newspapers. It's a large hurdle to get from issuing an executive order to actually creating a new record on science. In fact, to base a differing rule. Do you see how crazy these people are? Obama used the executive order to get this stuff done. So now Trump is undoing the executive order with an executive order. And this liar says you can't use an executive order. What you need is a new record of science and fact. Well, Obama didn't have science and fact. He had pure demagoguery on his side. McCarthy, who was now at Harvard University's Kennedy School, to show you how far that university has fallen, said that, well, people don't really want to use coal much anymore anyway. They're all moving to clean power. That's a very interesting statement. Tell that to the coal miners down there in the Appalachia area. And by the way, all you libs, take a guess who bought up almost all the coal companies when the price had dropped precipitously to near zero because of what Obama did to the coal industry. That's right. The money changer, George Soros, swooped in and bought up the coal countries, Mr. Clean Energy himself. This guy is such a conniving, evil symbol of everything wrong with the entire world. George Soros has funded some of the most revolutionary groups in the United States of America, from Black Lives Matter, you name it, all funded with this creep's money. and he made most of his money by trading currencies. Perfectly legal, of course. Never provided a job, so far as I can tell, in the history of mankind. The worst kind of capitalist in the world is what George Soros represents. In my opinion, he's a Madoff who's not gone to jail. That's what George Soros really is, in my estimation. A useless, evil capitalist of the worst kind. I love capitalism when it produces jobs and services. I hate pirates in capitalism of the type shown on the Showtime show Billions. They should all be in jail as far as I'm concerned. They're called pure speculators. That's not what capitalism was designed to produce. Speculators like that are purely destructive for society. They produce nothing and take everything. I don't put them up on a pedestal. Believe me, I don't.